Today's shiur begins from the top of Daf Nun Ches Omed Aleph in Maseches Bava Basra. We recommend printing out the daf before learning the shiur, or better yet, even ordering your volume of the Shas Ozer pre-marked Gemara edition. As you notice on the top line, we have a geometric form. This is a continuation of a series that had begun on the previous Omid Nud Zayin Omid Beis. These were different articles. This house form highlights different articles belonging to Talmidei Chachomim and how they're expected to appear. We had seen along the way some of these items were contrasted with the appearance of that which belongs to an Amo Oretz, of the same thing. In this case, we're going to be opening with a bed. Mito shel Talmidei Chachomim Ketzad. How does the bed of a Talmid Chacham appear? Answer, Kol she'ein tachteho elo sandolim b'yemois hachama u'min olim b'yemois hagshomim. The bed is not a storage area. In other words, the area under the bed of a Talmid Chacham will house only his foot gear. A sandolim being an open type of shoe during the summer time, and a closed type shoe, a min'ol, during the rainy season when there's mud and water outside. The first line had noted on the top, at the end of it, an aleph. That was to make you aware that there would be some beis contrast point, and that's what we see now. The shel am horetz beis, the bed of an am horetz, dome lo'itzer bolus. It appears to be a storage facility filled with many different items. We've also highlighted this contrast point by the dotted underline that you find under the Talmid Chacham as opposed to under the am horetz. In the previous daf, we started another series, namely incidents or comments in which Rabbi Benoah was the principal personality, and that was featured by the double underline, and we'll see that now as well. As we go on in the Gemara here, we'll also notice a new geometric form, a bow tie. And as you may have noticed from studying our site, that the geometric forms introduce or feature, highlight series or something of a repetitive nature. We've already featured that today with the house form around the mito at the top line, and the mentioned that in the context of the double underlining, which is also a series marking, and now the bow tie. On the outside margin, because this is a new marking as far as these facing pages are concerned, we have a summary and explanation of what the marking is going to do. That's featured in the Mivneh note on the outside margin, and it says there, Simun shel tchilas maisa. This marking is going to be, as far as this Amud is concerned, the beginning of various different incidents. So you see here a maisa, and then later in the middle of the page you see a couple more incidents. The first incident, and that we have introduced with the no say heading, also on the outside margin, Rabbi Benoah mitzayin me'oras ha'machpelah. Rabbi Benoah, who the Rashbam describes as being an exceptional individual, a great man, you can see that in the Rashbam opposite the first wide line of the Gemara, there he says, Rabbi Benoah, Odom Godol V'choshuv Hoya. He was involved in the first incident, marking off the boundaries of the Me'oras HaMachpelah, the burial site of our forefathers, and as well as Odom HaRishon and Chava. The necessity of marking off a grave site is to forewarn people involved with taros, particularly kohanim, not to encroach on that area and hence encounter tuma, rendering them tomei, or if they're carrying truma or korbonis, that they shouldn't become tomei. Of course, the issue of korbonis will be quite limited. That's to Yerushalayim, because any korban that leaves Yerushalayim will automatically become tomei. But the issue of marking off graves figured most prominently in the realm of truma, where that had to be kept betara. The Gemara continues. Rabbi Bino have mitzayin ma'arosa. Before we go further, another marking is necessary to point out. You notice between the thin space between the Rashi and the Gemara text, the expression Maisa is encircled and a dashed vertical line going down, indicating that these lines, the length of that dashed line, will be one Maisa. The Me'ora that we're talking about, as we mentioned before, is the Me'ora Samachpela. There's a note that the Tosfos offers here that might be of general interest. Let's take a look at what he says. Mitzayin ma'arosa, mishum dekever sosum. And when you're dealing with a sealed grave, and there's no opening between the body and the ceiling of the grave, which we call a poser tefach, if it's a sealed grave, tuma bokas viola, the tuma penetrates and rises above the surface. Hence, if someone walks over that area, he'll become tomei. Kidomar bekama duchti, as is pointed out in numerous places. V'im tomar, what one might ask, and here we've provided some marking for the Tosfos as well, in the thin space between the Tosfos and the Rabbeinu Gershom and the outside margin, you notice a kuf that's circled with a dashed vertical line. This indicates a long question. So Tosfos raises what one might have thought to be a question. V'im tomar vo'ein kivrei oivdei kechove mitamen be'oel, mishum di'ein kruyin odom, the graves of Gentiles are not metame, and if we're talking about the marking off of graves, and in this case we're talking about graves that were before Matan Torah, so before the giving of the Torah, so the Jewish people didn't become a Jewish people until the point of Matan Torah. So what's the necessity of marking off the graves of non-Jews? They're not metame bo'el, as Tosfos points out, de'en kruyim odom, the pasuk says, odom ki yomus bo'el, that only that person that's called odom, and goyim are not classified by that term. Ve'afilu rabbonon depligi areb shimon v'amri de metame bo'el. The issue of goyim being metame bo'el is a machlokes tanoim, and even according to the rabbonon that hold that goyim are metame bo'el, mikol mokom bekever shelifnei hadibur lo marbelo benozir ela le'inyan negiyah. In Maseches Nozir, when you're dealing with graves that were there before the Dibur, before Matan Torah, when we include them as far as a source of Tumah, that's only as far as direct contact, as opposed to overshadowing. O Bekever, that's a posuk, and we have quotation marks. The Rabbo is Kever Shelifnei HaDibur. Umikro Dekosav Gabi Negiya Marbi Lahasam. And the posuk that's referred to there is talking about touch or contact, not ohel, not overshadowing. So the question is, why is it necessary at all to mark off the Me'oras HaMachpela? The Yesh Lomar d'Avrom Nikra Adam, that Avram, who's buried in the Me'oras HaMachpela, though he was before the Dibur, nevertheless he He's included in the pasuk that says Adam ki yomus ba, because he is called Adam. Dechtiv ha Adam hagadol, v'chein Adam harishon. So to Adam, his name was Adam. Ulahachi ein lema'atam mikra de Adam. Hence, we're not going to exclude them from the pasuk of Adam, and therefore there is a need to mark off their burial site. We continue now in the Gemara. We noted that he was Mitzayin Ma'arosa. Kimoto the Ma'arosa de Avram. When he got to the burial spot of Avram Avinu, Ashkeche Eliezer Eved Avram Dekoi Kami Bavo. He found Eliezer, the well-known servant of Avram. The Rashbam points out, based on Maseches Derech Eretz, that he is one of the seven that did not die. Hence, the possibility of encountering him exists. And that's what happened with Rabbi Binah. So he met Eliezer Eved Avram, that was standing in front of the entranceway to this crypt. Omar lei, my ko'ovid Avram. So Rabbi Binah asked, what is Avram doing? Omar lei, goni bekanfo de sora. He's lying embraced with sora. V'ka ma'ayno lei bereshe. And she is studying his head. She's looking at his head. Omar lei, so Rabbi Binah, who needs to go in to measure exactly where the tuma is, he says it's important to announce my arrival. It's not sonua, we'll say, for me to go into a place where the couple is embraced, with all that might entail. Omar lei, so Rabbi Binah says, zil emo lei Binah koyabova. He tells Eliezer, go inform him, namely Avram, that Binah is at the door, and that he should give me rishus to enter. Amale, Eliezer says, you don't need to go through all this formality and the need for rishus and the concern of tznius, because he says, Leil, enter, meida yadia di yetzer b'hai amo leka, that it's well known that in this world, namely the world that they are involved with, that we're dealing with an afterlife experience, the Yetzer, the evil inclination, is not present there. Hence, it's okay to enter and not to have all those other this worldly concerns. Ayel, so he entered. Ayin, he checked out what he needed to check out as far as the dimensions were concerned and the boundaries. Fenofak, and he exited. Kimoto lema'arosa de Odom Harishon, when he was about to arrive at the crypt that housed Odom Harishon, Yotza Basko v'Omra, a heavenly voice came forth and said, Nistakalto bidmus diukni. Bidyukni atzmo altistakel. You viewed the, it's very, it's a little challenging to translate these expressions, but the, we can say like the copy from the original, the dmus diukni, meaning an image that's not the original mold, the original form of man. The Rashbam says this is a reference to Yaakov Avinu. I believe you might find in other Meforshim that this is a reference to Avram, who was just mentioned. This, in fact, you'll find in the Rabbeinu Gershom himself, when he interprets B'dimus Dukni, Shedmusa Shel Avram Kedmus Adam Arishon. So the heavenly voice said, you saw the Dmus Dukni, however, B'diyukni Atzmo Altistakel. I don't want you to view the Dukni Atzma, we'll call the original form, namely Odom Harishon. Tamus Nyuki being those that were modeled after him, formed after him, but the original form I don't want you to see. So Rabbi Binah says back, Ha Bo'ino Litsuni Ma'arosa, but I need to I need to detail and define the boundaries of the crypt, of the where the body is. So the heavenly voice said, "Don't bother, because it's known." Kemidas hachitzona kach midas apnimis. The Maris HaMachpelah was said to be, according to one opinion, an inner chamber and an outer chamber. So the dimensions that this inner chamber have are the same as the dimensions of the outer chamber. You already measured the outer chamber, so you can just copy over those notations and apply them to the inner one. Ulaman diomar shnei botim zu lemala mizu. And according to the opinion that the Maris HaMachpelah was not a function of an inner chamber and an outer chamber, but rather a two-story arrangement, two levels, the heavenly voice says, "Kemidas elyono kach midas atachtona." The dimensions of the upper one are the same as the lower one. Omar Rabbi Bino, nistakalti b'shnei akevov. According to the Rashbam, it says, "I saw the heels, the two heels of Odom HaRishon, v'domim l'shnei galgalei chama." And they appear to be like two balls of sun. Hakol b'fnei sora, kekof b'fnei Adam. When comparing people and their beauty, they would appear to be as monkeys next to sora, imenu. Sora b'fnei chava, kekof b'fnei Adam. And sora, in contrast to chava, she would have appeared to be as a monkey, as compared to man. Chava b'fnei Adam, kekof b'fnei Adam. Adam b'fnei shechina, kekof b'fnei Adam. These are, of course, ideas that have very, very great depth, and the true meaning behind it would be reserved for another stage of learning. Continuing in the general realm of glory, of beauty, Shufrei de Rav Kahana, Ma'ain Shufrei de Rebbe Avo. The beauty, the radiance of Rav Kahana had the essence of the radiance of Rebbe Avo. Rebbe Avo being the main source of radiance in this particular comparison. Shufrei de Rebbe Avo, Ma'ain Shufrei de Yankev Avinu. Shufrei de Yankev Avinu, Ma'ain Shufrei de Odom HaRishon. The marking that we see, and we mentioned earlier, its role is to accentuate the beginning of a new incident. Hahu Amgusha was a sorcerer to have a chotit shachvi, used to dig out the dead to strip them of their clothing. Grave robber. Kimota Amarosa de Rav Tuvi Bar Matona. When he got to the crypt that housed Rav Tuvi, Tafse, Rav Tuvi grabbed the sorcerer. The issue of the dead appearing to have signs of life is itself a very curious topic, and the Mefarshim talk about it. And as far as our particular limud in this context, we're not going to deal with it. The Rashbam makes a brief reference to the Gemara in Shabbos that asks the question, how is it that you have the likes of Odom HaRishon being intact, and now you have an incident involving Rav Tuvi seemingly being intact and even somewhat active, when the pasuk refers to man in death going back to dust. The pasuk is ki ofor ato v'el ofor toshuv. So the Gemara in Shabbos raises this question and answers that refers to a moment before Tchias HaMeisin, before the resurrection of the dead. So there's a mass conversion to dirt, to dust. And then everyone comes, and everyone who is destined to come back comes back. But in the meantime, there is a possibility that the body doesn't decompose and remains intact. And as you see here, some indications of signs of what we would call life continue even into that state. As the story goes on, we see Rabbi Tuvi grabbing this sorcerer. Also Abaye. The Rashbam points out that Abaye was friendly with this particular goy. Could be that he wasn't familiar with his behavior, or maybe Abaye overlooked it or had other considerations. Whatever the case is, Abaye shows up. Amale, Abaye pleads with Rav Tuvi, b'matusa minoch shavke, release him. Lashona achriti hoderosi, next year this goy is back again. Tafse bedikne, and Rav Tuvi grabs him again, grabs him by his beard. Dikne, his beard. Also Abaye comes back. However, this time, lo shavke ada'aisi maspero v'gazi l'dikne. He was not released until they brought a scissors and cut off the goy's beard. The Rav Tuvi, having grabbed him by the beard, in order to release the goy, he had to have his beard cut off. Ahu di Omar Lahu. The incident here involves someone who's about to die. He's called Mitzave Machmas Misa, and he's dividing out his property to his children. And he's going to be speaking in a rather vague or riddle-sounding fashion. And as the story goes on, we'll find Rabbi Benoah being needed to decipher what the instructions were. So here are the instructions of the person issuing his will. He says, Chavito de afro lechad bro. Literally, a barrel of dirt he wants to give to one of his children. The Rashbam adds over here, the reason this man is speaking in this riddle, this hidden type fashion, is he was a wealthy man and he didn't want everyone to know about his wealth. So he says, I want one son to have a barrel of dirt. Number two, chavito de garmi lechad broi, and one barrel full of bones to another son. Chavito de udra lechad broi, and a barrel of what's called muchin. It's pieces of soft fabrics or soft material. That's the end of the will. People hearing this, lohavu yadi mai ko'omar lehu. The people who heard this didn't know what he was saying. Asu lekame de Rabbi Benoah. Notice we've double underlined Rabbi Benoah to connect this incident to the other mentions, citations of Rabbi Benoah. Os Omar Lehu, and Rabbi Benoah explained, he answered, Is Lehu Ara, do you have land? Omru Leh in. Oh, so they said yes. Notice in our marked edition, the word in has a dot under it, a vowelization, the Chirik vowelization, because in Aramaic, the word in means yes. And not to misread it in the Hebrew, which would come out to something almost the opposite. So when they responded, yes, we have, our family has lands, so that is a reference to the barrel of dirt that the gentleman was willing. Is luchu chiyusa? He asked, Rabbi Benoah asked them, do you have animals? Amulei in, yes. Hence, that's the barrel of bones. Is lechu bistarki? Do you have bistarki? Different types of clothing, wardrobes. And they answered, in. Ihochi, if that be the case. Hochi ko'omar lechu. Then this is what he had been saying to you. We encounter another maisa, and you can see that this maisa is rather long just by studying the long marking between the thin space between the Rashi and the Gemara. Before we proceed with the maisa, let's glance at the heading on the side entitled Nosei, Rabbi Beno Megale Lahu Gavro, Mihu Beno Amiti, Meishto Shaosko Biznus. Rabbi Beno will, in this incident, reveal to a particular man who his real son is, his son that he had from his wife, that he had not been aware of the fact that she was involved with a promiscuous lifestyle. Hence, she had become impregnated, but by many different men over the years. Bahemshech ilshinu al Rabbi Beno, and as the story goes on, we'll find that they informed the authorities of Rabbi Beno's behavior in the hopes of having him prosecuted by the authorities. And at the end, we'll find that Rabbi Beno not only was extricated from this tough situation, but he also rose to a position of leadership, position of loftiness and greatness in the government. The Gemara continues inside. Hahu gavro deshama litvisu. There was a man that heard his wife, the ka'omra, the barta, that she was saying to her daughter, Amai lotznias beisura. Apparently the daughter was also a promiscuous young woman, but she didn't do it in a very surreptitious, hidden fashion, but rather was conducting herself in this loose lifestyle, you know, in the public eye. So the mother asks, why don't you carry on your lifestyle, but in a private way? And she continues to say about herself, this is the mother talking to the daughter, Hach itza, in the third person. Oftentimes in the Shas you find references in the third person to oneself. Hach itza, this woman, referring to herself, Asora boni is la, I have 10 sons, Veles li me'avuch elochad, and from your actual father, I have only one. That's what the man, the husband, overheard his wife saying. So you can imagine his jaw dropped open and realizing that he only has one son in actuality. The story goes on. He shochiv, when that man was about to die, Omar Lahu, he expressed his will as follows. Kol nichsi l'chad bro. I want all of my property to go to one son. Of course, in the public eye, he was perceived as having 10 sons. We now discovered, that he had only one son. And he says, I want all of my property to go to one son, the one son that Bezdin chooses. However, lo yadi lehe minayo, but we didn't know. The Bezdin didn't know either to which one son. Osu lekamei de Rabbi Beno. Noticing, of course, the double underline feature, emphasizing that Rabbi Beno is part of a series. Omar lehu, zilu chavotu kavro davuchon. He tells the group of sons, go hit or beat on the grave of your father. The Rashbam on the Dibur Masl Chavotu, in the middle of the wide lines of the lower part of the page, Chavotu, he says, Hiku Hakos Al Kivro. Each one should bang on his father, on the father's grave. Ulenasoison is kaven. He was trying to put them to a trial, to put them to a test. Shoison Shemamzerim Hein Aze Ponim Viechu Lachbot. Those that are Mamzerim children, namely their illicit children, their children from this married woman being with other men other than her husband, those are Mamzerim children. they're considered azei ponim. They're considered bold, bold in the negative sense, azus ponim, and they v'yechu lachbo. They'll go and beat their father's grave. The Gemara continues, rereading the line above. Omar lehu, Rabbi Bono said to them, zilu chavotu kavro davuchon ad dekoi umagli lehu lehei minaychu shavka. He said, beat his grave until he gets up and informs which one of you he wanted to leave the property to. Ozlu kulhu, nine of them went and did this. Ahu Debrei Have, the real son, the legitimate son, he didn't go. Lo Ozal. Omar Lahu. So Rabbi Binoz said, Kulhu Nichsi Dehai, all of the property belongs to that one. The one that showed restraint, showed a sense of honor and kovod to his father. Not as ponim, not bold by nature. Ozlu, all these other children that now are losing out. Ochlu kurtza beimalka. They inform the authorities. This is an expression. Ochlu kurtza beimalka. To read it as such, and hence in our marked edition, you'll notice there are singular quotation marks indicating a phrase marking. They were malshin. They informed the authorities, Amri, and they said, "Iko gavro chad biyudoi." There is an individual amongst the Jews, the komapik mamona mi'anshi, below sadi ubelo raya, that he has the nerve to extract money from people without witnesses and without proof. They were referring, of course, to Rabbi Bano. Asyuhu, they brought him in, Chavshu, and they incarcerated Rabbi Bano. Ozlot Visu, Rabbi Bano's wife went to the Beis HaMelech, to the king, to see to it that he is released, but she did so with a with the Rashbam terms, Loshon Chochma. We can say, as the Rashbam says, Shelo Yavinu Heim Ela Ayadei Baila, that she is going to say something, we'll see very shortly, that's of a riddle nature, that no one would be able to figure out other than her own husband. In other words, the authorities, when they hear this woman speaking, they'll respond, say, we don't know what you're talking about, and eventually they'll come to summon Rabbi Bano as being the only one who can decipher what she's saying. The Gemara goes on. Omra lehu. She appeals to the authorities as follows, noting that this is not going to be easily understood. And you'll notice, if you can follow the quotation marks, it's about a three-line speech. Avdo chad havu li. I had one servant, Pasku l'reshe, they decapitated him, Upashtu l'mashche, they stretched his skin, V'ochlu bisre, and they ate the Eved's flesh, V'komolu bei maya, and they filled the skin with water, U'mashku bei l'chavraya, and they gave his friends to drink from it, V'lo ko yavi li Domi velo agre, and they didn't pay money or any schar. Well, that's what she said to the authorities. Lo yadi mai ka'omra lahu. They had no idea what she was talking about. What is this decapitation of a slave and filling his skin with water? Amri, so they realized they're going to have to call on some expert. Nesu lechakima diudoi velemo. Let's bring the wise man of the Jews, referring to Rabbi Bano, and let him say, Karyu le Rabbi Bano, Omar lehu. Rabbi Bano said, Zarnuka omra lehu. the woman was saying to you a description of a leather flask. And what she was saying, the Rashbam brings out, is that I had a goat and they stole the goat from me. They slaughtered it, ate the goat's meat, and from its skin made a skin bottle. And they drew water with it and drank from it. Amri, the Goyim, upon hearing this, they said, Hoil v'chokim kulei hai, we see your great, great wisdom. Lesiv abova v'nidondina, sit at the gate. In the times of the Gemara, we find courts were located at the entrance to communities. So sit at the gate and judge cases. As the Gemara goes on, we're also noticing a new marking, a new geometric form, this colored in tip triangle. Let us look at the comment on the side, the Mivneh. Piskois shoinois shiro rabbi beno ksuvim al shari ho'ir shemotso nochon letaknom. Different sayings that were etched in the on the top of the gates at the entrance to their cities. He felt necessary, felt it necessary to fix them, to correct them. The first one will be regarding a judge that's not fit for judging, and the second one will involve matters of health. One case, one who was not, didn't bloodlet, and a second saying involving the praiseworthiness of wine as beneficial to health. So now we see the first triangle here, two lines from the bottom. If one has a volume of the Shas Ozer, or on your screen, you can scroll down and see on Amud Beis the next appearance of that same marking. The Gemara says, Chozo de Havikosiv Be'abula. He saw that it was written over the gates of the city. The following saying, Kol Dayan de Miskiri Ledin Lo Shmei Dayan. Any judge who himself is summoned to be judged is not considered worthy to judge. That was their feeling, and that's what they had inscribed on their gates. Since he was summoned to a case to be judged, it seems that he has a lust for money, and hence will be a type of person that would accept bribes, and hence not capable of judging honestly. Omar Luhu, so Rabbi Beno, upon seeing this, responds, Elo Me'ato, also Inish Me'amo, imagine some guy comes along, Umazmin Love Ladino. Let's reread that. Umazmin Le Ladino. Pasle. Imagine someone just comes along and summons a judge to a case, even if it's not a correct case, not legitimate. This is the Rashbam points out the top line, Umazmin Le Ladino, Shalo Kedin. He's out, the guy comes along and summons a judge to be tried, unworthy. In other words, in a non-legitimate case, v'yotza min adin zakai, and he comes out of the case innocent. Is he to be rendered posel? Ella, Rabbi Benoah continues, kol dayan demiskeri ledin, umafkin mine mamona bidin, lo shmei dayan. Any judge who is summoned to a case and he's found guilty, and they require him to pay money, he is not fit to be a judge. Here's a man who took money and now owes it. He shouldn't have taken money illegally. Hence, he's not fit. And that's what should be put on the gates. Kosfu hachi. And they, in fact, changed or added to what was written on their gates as follows. And you'll notice with the quotation marks, the three lines contain what they added. Bram, Savi, Diudoi, Amri. However, the wise men of the Jews say, Kol Dayan de Miskri Ladin, Umafkin Mine, Mamona Bedin, Lo Shme Dayan. Any judge who's summoned to be tried and is found guilty and hence made to pay money through the courts is not worthy of being called a judge. Choza Dehavi Kosiv. Notice the triangle, which continues the series of sayings that Rabbi Benoah saw etched on their gates. So he saw that they had the following written: Barosh Kol Moisa Ano Dam, Barosh Kol Chayin Ano Chamor. The Rosh Kol Moisa means the chief reason for people dying is because of the accumulation of blood in their system that they had not bloodlet on time. And the second point, the Rosh Kol Chayin, that the chief means of achieving life is wine, chamor, wine. So the Rabbi Benoah observed, Elo Meato, Denofil Meigra Umis, person who fell off a roof and died. Denofil Meidikla Umis, person who fell from a tree and died. Domo Katle, he died because of the accumulation of blood. Vesu, Man de Darke Lamimas, imagine someone on his way to die. He's in death throes. Mashkule chamro v'chayi, give him wine to drink and it will make him live. In other words, according to their sayings, when we had emphasized with the markings, with the dashed underline, we had emphasized the words moisa, meaning means of death, and chayin, referring to means of life, coming to life. As you can see, those expressions, in light of the fact that there are many other ways people die that have nothing to do with accumulation of blood, and also the suggestion of wine being an effective means of bringing someone to life, doesn't seem to be a reasonable suggestion. Rabbi Benoah continues, Ela hachi boy lemichtav, but rather thusly, for the sake of accuracy, it should state, Barosh kol marin ano dam, that the chief reason for illness, notice we've dashed underlined the word marin, this is to enable you to easily contrast it with the word chayin, with the word moisa that we had before, as opposed to mosa, death, say disease. The chief cause of disease is the accumulation of blood, hence the need for bloodletting. Barosh kol asvon, the chief method of preventive medicine, ano chamra, I am wine. Namely, wine is the chief method of preventing disease, as we refer to it as preventive medicine. Therefore, kosvu hachi, they inscribed on their gates the following. Bram, even though they had their original saying, they had this addition. However, the Savi Diudoi Amri, the wise men of the Jews say, Barosh kol marin ano dam, that the chief reason for disease is this phenomenon of blood accumulation, Barosh kol asfon ano chamor, and the chief source of preventive medicine would be wine.
Ba'aser deles chamor, tamon misbu samonim. In a city that has no wine in it, in that city they'll need medicines.
Rashbam says tamon misbon samonim, shom mevakshin samonim lirafua, shebemokom shein yayin mitsuyin tachluin.
And in a place that there is no wine, so there are a lot of diseases.
The Gemara now has something that's not related in as far as Rabbi Benoah is concerned. It's referred to as a milsa ba'api nafsho. Kosiv apischa de kaputkyo. At the entrance to this place known as Kaputkyo, the following was found inscribed. There are three names of measures that all happen to be the same. In other words, three different names for the same measure. Anpak, Anbag, Antal. The Eizehu Antal, the Gemara asks, what is the measure of an Antal?
Zehu Revius Shel Torah. That's the Shi'ur that's well known as a quarter of a lug that you find in the Torah. Before we turn to the Mishnah, we would advise looking at the Sefer Pirush Chai, diagram 477. Here you'll notice a rooftop with a draining system where where water that runs off the roof is provided for via a mazchela, a main gutter running alongside the top of the roof, and then a spout known as a marzev, which will focus the water accumulating in the maschela to a particular point. The Mishnah says, "Hamarzev ein loy chazoka, v'yesh lemakoymer chazoka." The opening line of the Gemara after the Mishnah will be asking to define this point. My hamarzev ein lo chazoka v'yesh lemakom chazoka. So, at this point, though, we won't get involved with all the different explanations that the Gemara offers. In fact, you can, by glancing down the lower part of the page, you'll notice a series of triangles, three of them right here, attempting to explain that point. What we can say is that the marzev, as we said before, is the spout. It's a small pipe, relatively speaking, and it was usually attached to the end of a large pipe system that ran along the length of the roof. What we'll do at this point, though, is look into the Rashbam, who offers some general architectural descriptions. Hamarzev, tzinor koton, uregilim litloso lesof tzinor godol. The marzev is a small pipe that was usually attached to the end of a large pipe. Haholech al pnei kol agag, that ran along the entire roof. Uregilim lehofchoi lechol roish shiirtze. And it was common for them to switch the location of that marzev to each any end they wanted. Umarchik kiluach mayim in akoisel. The purpose of this marzev was to distance the stream of water from the wall of the structure. Veloshin marzev, as far as etymology is concerned, the Rashbam offers an analysis of that word. Tipo shamayim, zov derech shom. The drops of water that flow there. Kedichtiv kemar madli, loshon tipa, based on the posuk, indicating drops of water. Vilkoch ein lo chazoka, since it's a small item, a small pipe, it doesn't achieve a chazoka. The eno dover kavua, it's not a fixed item. V'im hichzik bo bal haga gimel shanim, v'tola oisa ba'avir chotzer chavero. If a person had it suspended in the airspace of his neighbor's chotzer, Eino yocholiton hechzakti. He, the owner of the roof, cannot say, oh, I have a chazoka for this marzev to remain where it is, even though it's been there for 3 years. Dikema de lav milsa de kviusahu, since it's not something that's of a fixed nature, a permanent nature, lo kopid baal chotzer, the fellow below isn't going to mind, vishosik shenotayim vishosh, and he'll keep quiet 2 years, 3 years. As we've said in the past, situations that don't invite, that don't provoke a protest, are situations where a chazoka cannot be gained. Continuing in the Mishnah, the second example is indicated by the number 2, Sulam Hamitzri Ein Lo Chazoka. It's a small ladder. Ulitzuri, a larger one, Yesh Lo Chazoka. The Rashbam here says, Sulam Hamitzri, Koton Hu, Hilkoch Ein Lo Chazoka. Since a small ladder, it doesn't gain a chazoka. De kevan de lav milsa de kviusahu lo kobid velo choshlimcha. Since it's a minor type apparatus, it doesn't invite protest. The owner isn't going to be upset. The owner of the chotzer, and he's not going to issue a protest. The hilchach im nosan sulama b'chotzer chaveru las legago ulishovocho eino chazoka. Therefore, if I put this Sulam Mitzri in your chotzer to get up to my roof or to my coop, bird coop, then one does not gain a chazaka. Continuing in the Mishnah, example 3, Chalon HaMitzris Ein Lo Chazaka Ulitzuris Yesh Lo Chazaka. Once again, let us take a look at the Rashbam. Chalon HaMitzris Ktanahi. It's a small window. Ein lo chazokim. Also chalon bekoisel beso. If a person had made this window, this opening in his house, the wall of his house, lahabit derech sham lishmor pardeso leginasa, to peer through the window, to looking out the window, he would see his orchard, his gino, his garden, and he'd be able to notice if anyone was trying to steal from there. The chalon also overlooked his friend's courtyard. And he was using this window out of his house 3 years. Eino chazoka. The kevon de lav milsa de kviusahu lo chashash limchos. Even though the owner of the chotzer might enjoy privacy and not want his neighbor to look through the window onto his chotzer, nevertheless, it's a small window, so it's not something that would arouse his protest. It doesn't provoke. Aval im aso lahoir shelo hoya lo oira mitzad acher. If he made this opening for light purposes, he had no other direction from which light entered the house. Ki im mikan. Could be that on all three sides of this structure there were other buildings that were built up close to his house. He had no light opportunity from any other side. Yesh lo chazoka. De l'shem kvius aso'o. A window for light purposes is there to be there permanently. De eino yochol lishtamish beisa b'lo ora. You can't use his house with no source of light. V'chomidi dekvius avi chazoka. Anything that's of permanent nature is chazoka worthy. V'hochi omar Shmuel b'gemara. Shmuel makes the comment in the gemara, ula oira afilu kol shehu, even a very small window, havi chazoka. Continuing in the Mishnah. Eze hi chalon hamitzris. The Mishnah mentioned that a chalon mitzris has no chazoka, so what is that? Two opinions. Kol she'ein rosho shel adam yochol likonis l'socha. It's a rather small window. A person's head would be too large to go into that window space. Bira omer im yesh lo malbein afal pi she'ein rosho shel adam yochol likonis l'socha are zu chazoka. To appreciate this, one might look at illustration 4 82 Aleph. If the window has a frame around it, even though it's small, this would make it chazaka worthy. Continuing in the Gemara, referring to the original example in the Mishnah, the drain and spout arrangement, Mai hamar zev ein lo chazaka v'yesh lemakomo chazaka. What's meant by that? And before we go on in the Gemara, let us note the role of the triangles, the triangles being one of our geometric forms, indicating a series of something. The Shas Ozer that many of you are using right now has introductory notes on the outside margin, and here we have the Nose Mivne, the topic and the structure combined in one note. The triangles are Gimel Biurim, three explanations, Ahod Dikotoni, regarding that which it states in the Mishnah, Amar Zev Ein Lo Chazoka V'yesh Lemakomo Chazoka. The first one is offered by Shmuel. The Gemara says, Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Shmuel, Hochi Komar, Hamar Zev Ein Lo Chazoka Meruach Achas V'yesh Lemakomo Chazoka Mishtei Ruchos. Namely, the small spout that comes off of the maschela of the main gutter doesn't have a chazaka from one end. Namely, if the owner of the chotzer into which this water is running says, I don't want it running off the south side. I'd rather have it run off the water concentrated on the north side. Why someone would want that? Maybe he wants to water plants that are located over there in his gina, in his chotzer. So he, owner of the chotzer, according to the halacha of the Mishnah, as it's explained by Shmuel, he can redirect where the marzev is positioned. However, v'yesh l'makomo chazoka mishtei ruchos means that the owner of the chotzer into which the water is flowing cannot have it removed entirely. The Rashbam explains, Ein lo chazoka meruach achas ima marzev munach barosh dromi shel maschela. If the spout is attached to the southern end of the maschela, v'shofech shomayim v'hichzik bo gimel shonim eino chazoka. If it's been there for 3 years and pouring out over there, there's no chazoka. V'im tzorach baal chotzer l'shtamei shom, tzorach ze la'akor marzevo mikan, u'laniach barosh asheni shel maschela. And if the Baal HaChotzer wants to put his lawn chair and read his newspaper over there at the south side, so the owner of the roof with his spouting has to remove it from the south side and put it at the other end. The Ein Baal HaGag Mafsid B'kach Klum. It doesn't affect the Baal HaGag, the owner of the roof, either way, wherever the spout is located. V'ilkoch Ein Kan Kvius Yosmunoch Le'olomim L'ruach Zeh. Therefore, there's no reason for it to achieve a chazoka to be positioned at that one end. That's why, because it doesn't have kvius, that's why the Baal HaChotzer, even though it's been there for 3-4 years, never said anything about it, because he always knew it could be removed. The Rashbam goes on, Avol yesh l'mekomo chazoka, bi'achas mishtei ruchos, oy tzvoni oy dromi, she'im yakrenu mitzad zeh yanich b'tzad acher. As far as the owner of the roof is concerned, he does have a chazaka with regard to one of the two ends. If not this one, then that one. V'ein baal chotzer yochol akro legamri min hachotzer. The owner of the chotzer can't have it removed entirely from the chotzer. Sherei hichzik mil b'so chotzer. As far as the chotzer drain relationship is concerned, the owner of the roof has had a chazaka of having his water pour into the chotzer for 3 years. So So as far as that's concerned, the Rashbam continues at the beginning of the line, Havei Marzev Milsa de Kviusa. The issue of a spout is a fixed feature. The Stam Bayis Yevsha below Marzev. Your standard house has to have this, to have the water directed away from the wall of the house. When the owner of the roof made his drain and his spouting, he did it with the intention it should be there permanently. If for any reason the owner of the chotzer, the courtyard owner, had any problems with having water flowing into his chotzer, he should have protested within the first 3 years. Number two, second explanation of this phrase of the Mishnah. Rabbi Chanina Omar Hamarzev Ein Lo Chazaka She'im Hoya Oroich Mekatzro. That if the Marzev was long, so the Baal HaChotzer can insist on it being shortened. In other words, it was longer than necessary. However, V'yesh L'Mekomo Chazaka She'im Bo La'okro Eino Okro. However, if he wants to have it removed from its particular side, he cannot have it removed from that side. This is in contrast with Shmuel's opinion that said he could have it removed from a particular side of the particular end of the main gutter. Rabbi Chanina says no. Number three, Rabbi Yirmiyahu Ba'arba Omar, Hamarzev Ein Lo Chazaka, which means, She'im Roitze Livnois Tachtov Bone, if the Baal HaChotzer wants to build a structure, build a wall underneath the Marzev, he can. V'yesh l'makomo chazaka shimbo la'okro eino okro. However, if the one who's building, the owner of the chotzer who wants to build under it, wants to build a rather tall structure that would knock off the Marzev, that he can't do. With that, we have seen the three opinions as to what that phrase of the Mishnah meant, Marzev Ein Lo Chazaka V'yesh L'Makomo Chazaka. And in the next shiur, the Gemara will deal with understanding which one of these opinions is most likely in light of the accurate reading of the Mishnah. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.